Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. By this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we will know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm excited to have just a moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come join me and the other pastors up here, come on down. If you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a minute together. Come on down. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see all of you. I know some of you are wearing sweaters. It's gotten cold again. What is up with that? It's supposed to be warm after Easter, isn't it? Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Well, some of you may know that I like music, and I am learning to play the banjo. Oh, do you know what the banjo is? It's kind of like a guitar, and it's round, and it's usually played really fast. Blah, 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 blah. I can't play it that fast. So I don't really say I play the banjo. I say I'm taking banjo lessons because I've got a lot to learn before I can play that fast. But I'm never going to play that fast if I don't practice. We have to practice and practice. And that makes me think something about love. In our reading today, there was a man who wrote a letter to a church, and he said we need to love one another, because that's what Jesus said. We need to love one another. But that can be hard sometimes, because we have all sorts of feelings, and sometimes we don't do the right thing, and sometimes we act a little selfishly. But you know what? We practice and we learn. And that's one of the wonderful things about church, is that this is a place where we get to hear God loves us. We get reminded about that every Sunday. And then we get to love each other and practice. And if I mess up and accidentally do something that is selfish and didn't help Maggie, you'll forgive me and I'll learn from that. And maybe next time I'll do the more loving thing. So let's think about church as being a place where we can practice how to love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, none of us is perfect. We make mistakes, but we want to love like you love. Thank you for the church where we can come and be reminded every week that you love us no matter what, where you give us friends and people that we can love and show love to, and when we make mistakes, will forgive us and help us keep learning. We do all this so that we can share your love with the world that you love so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church to learn a little bit more about love. And the rest of us can go back to sitting with parents, grandparents, or friends. See ya. One of my favorite albums, that word dates me, one of my favorite albums from my young adult years was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Anybody have that album? It is from start to finish, one piece. And she does this amazing job of tying all of the songs together by interspersing in between each song audio clips from a classroom. It's a classroom of students, probably young teenagers, and they're talking with their teacher about love and trying to define love. And that's sort of what the whole album is about, figuring out what love is. And there's one clip from the classroom with this young teenage boy, and you can almost picture him leaning back in his chair, and he says, "Love is a feeling," and then everybody starts laughing because he doesn't finish the sentence. He doesn't quite know how to finish that sentence or how to define love. And I think that's true for most of us. Love is hard to define. I remember a preacher saying one time, and I'm sorry I don't remember which preacher it was. Y'all, I'm old and I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. But he was talking about a Sunday school teacher in his church who was teaching kindergarten Sunday school, and she asked the students to define love. And one of the kindergartners said, "Love is that feeling you feel when you're going to have a feeling like you've never felt before." And that's what the going wisdom out there is, don't you think? That love is this feeling that you're going to feel like you've never felt before. What is love exactly? Our language doesn't help. In the English language, of course, we have basically one word for many different kinds of love. I love God. I love my husband and my children. I love coffee ice cream with chocolate chips, and it's all the same word. Now, many of you know, if you've been around church a long time, you've probably learned that in the New Testament, in the Greek, in which the New Testament is written, there are a few more words for love. There is philios, which is often used for friendship. There is eros, which is often used for romantic love and attraction between two people. And then there is agape. And whenever the gospel writers or the New Testament writers talk about God's love and how we ought to love one another, it is agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is agape. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says to his disciples at the end of John's gospel. That is agape. And when we get to this first letter of John, where he is writing to a congregation, inviting them to love one another, he's inviting them into agape. So what is agape love, this particularly kind of holy love that is meant to define Christian community and the Christian life? Well, the writer of 1 John gives us some ways to understand it. When he says, "We know love by this, that he," Jesus, "laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for one another." Love one another, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So love is action. Love is a verb. Love is what we do. And it has something to do with laying ourselves down for others. Some of you are reading this book that we've suggested that we read together as a congregation during this season after Easter. Love is the Way by Bishop Michael Curry. And he has a simple and beautiful way of defining agape love. He says, love is a commitment to seek the good and to work for the good and welfare of others. To work for the good of another, either an individual or for the public good, the common good, whatever that might be. And he gives some examples in his book of people in our own history who have laid down their own security, their own safety, their own convenience and comfort in order to work for the good of others, in order to love with agape love. He talks about Fannie Lou Hamer, this woman from Alabama who was born into a sharecropping family with 20 children. And she set aside her education to go and work on the farm. And in 1961, she went into the hospital for a minor medical procedure, and without her knowing it, without her consent, she was sterilized. And out of that experience, she became determined to gain the vote and to have her voice be heard in the public square. And because she tried to vote and advocate for that, she was beaten by the Ku Klux Klan and by the police. She was jailed. She put her life on the line again and again so that she and others could gain the vote. He talks about Frances Perkins, who was born into a family of wealth and had an education and was going about her life in New York, and one day saw that there was a factory that had caught on fire. And there were people jumping out of the windows. And from that day on, she dedicated her life to better working practices. Because of her, we have the minimum wage and the 40-hour week. And she became the Secretary of Labor under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He talks about William Wilberforce, that great activist and parliamentarian in England in the 18th and 19th centuries, who, because of his tireless work, brought an end to slavery in England. And these stories are incredibly inspiring, and we see these real-life examples of people who have been willing to set aside their own comfort, their own well-being, their own lives even, for the good of others. That is agape. And yet there's part of me that hears the stories of these incredible, heroic people, these historic figures, and I wonder, but I'm not a hero. My life isn't going to make the headlines or the history books like these folks that Bishop Curry is talking about. How am I to live out this kind of self-giving, self-emptying love in my ordinary life? And then I remembered a story that I came across one time. It was written by a Catholic priest named Carlo Coretto, who spent some of his life living in a monastery out in the desert. And he shared a story in his memoir that has really stuck with me. And I've asked Will to read it for us, just so we could hear it in a different voice this morning. So this is Carlo Coretto's experience in the monastery.
In our community the other day, there wasn't much coffee. Coffee does me good down here in the desert. It helps me. I am old. I was worried about not having any, about spending a few hours feeling dull and weak, and so without perceiving the evil I was doing, I went into the kitchen before the others and drank up all that was left. Afterwards, having suffered all day and made my confession, I thought in shame of my selfishness, of the ease with which I excluded my two brothers from those black, bitter remains. It seems a tiny thing, yet in that cup of coffee, taken and not shared with my brothers, is the root of all the evil which disturbs us, the poison of all the arrogance which selfishness, riches, and powers create. The difference between me and Jesus is right here, in an affair that seems simple, but it isn't at all. After a whole lifetime, it is still there to make you think. Jesus would have left the coffee for his brothers. I excluded my brothers. No, it isn't easy to live with hearts like ours. Let us confess it.
Thank you, Will. So this little episode of taking the rest of the coffee and knowing he was depriving his brothers of that coffee, is a little ordinary detail that nobody could really blame him for, and yet somehow in that moment is the whole of the Christian experience. Every day there are opportunities for us to choose agape or choose the self, to act for the benefit of someone else or to do the selfish thing. And the letter of 1 John invites us into choosing and doing and loving in deed. But he makes it even harder when he says to love one another in truth and in action. Because God not only wants from us the choice of agape, to put another's well-being over our own, but God wants that also to be true and genuine in our hearts. And that's even harder. Because there are times when I will choose to do the good thing, choose to do the selfless thing, but boy, do I resent it. Or boy, am I reluctant about it. Or boy, do I want credit for it. So how do we live in to this life of agape, where it not only becomes naturally what we do, but also becomes who we are in our hearts? It's a journey. It's a journey and a process every single day. An example from my own life. Last weekend, not this weekend, but last weekend, I attended the funeral of the mother of a dear friend of mine. We've been friends since seventh grade. And we had several friends from those high school years who were coming to the service, some of them coming from out of town. And on Friday afternoon of last week, I got a text from my friend Julia, "Hey, can I crash at your house for two nights?" Okay, where are my introverts at? You know how it feels, right? In that moment, I was like, oh, that is a lot of energy to expel in the course of a weekend. I'm tired. I don't know if I want to do this. All that self-talk, like, oh, resisting it. So I took a few deep breaths. And I texted David to make sure it was okay. And after a few breaths, I was able to say, of course, yes, yes, you can stay at our house. And then after the weekend was over, after we had had wonderful time catching up with each other, shared a long dinner on Saturday night sitting out on the patio, I didn't feel depleted at all. I felt renewed and refreshed, and I felt God just smiling at me and saying, all that reluctance, all of that stuff you had to go through to get to the loving choice, here you are being blessed and filled. That is the practice. And I think if we can choose in our daily lives that agape kind of love, that God will work on us and in us and through us to transform our hearts. John Wesley had a word for that. He called it sanctification, growing ever deeper in love with God, in love with neighbor, and in love with ourselves. But it's a journey. And so don't beat ourselves up when we feel reluctant or when we make the wrong choice from time to time. God is still working on us and will not give up on us. And the really good news is we have a place and a people among whom to practice. The church is the place where we practice love with one another. The church, the congregation, is a group of people who should be ready to easily forgive one another when we misstep and make mistakes, where we can coach one another and learn from one another. This is our rehearsal hall, our practice field. The letter of 1 John is primarily addressed to the church, as one commentator put it, to intramural love, to learning to love one another within the church. So that when we go out into the world, that agape muscle is in good shape. And we can go and share that kind of selfless love with the world. It may start with the dregs of coffee in a coffee pot. But it will end with the transformation of the world. I believe that is how God works. Thanks be to God.